everybody. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Real talk about disabilities with no excuses. Chad coming at you tonight with Andy, and we got our good buddy Brett Wills back with us. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you might have heard Brettsky on about episode 4 or so tell his story, and goodness knows he's got a great story, and he shared it, and he's about as real and authentic as we are, and that's why he's one of our faves, and he's back with us tonight. Say hey, Brett.
Guys, thanks again for having me. First time was a blast, and I'm looking forward to it tonight.
Andy, everything's good with you?
Things are good.
All right, where do we want to start today, gentlemen? It's been a little while. Listen, last week we had a guest on in Sam Loker, and just bringing his perspective from an able perspective, if you will, asking those questions that, you know, in terms of from the able world, you know, how do we address, what's the politically correct way to address you, and what could we be doing better, and things like that. And Andy and I have some ideas for guests, and we wanted to come right back to Brett because we had such a blast with him the first time. So where do we want to start this evening? Are we going to try to make it a little sports related? Brettsky's a sports guy. You want to plug your own podcast while we got you here, Brettsky?
Yeah, the boys and I started a podcast about 3.5 years ago. And we got picked up by Accessible Media Incorporated. We're called The Neutral Zone, and we're on AMI Audio. You can catch us at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, ami.ca/listen-live. And if you have any podcatcher, you can just Google or search on The Neutral Zone and pick us up anytime you want.
That's awesome. You guys go live, eh?
We've gone live for about the last 4 or 6 months, and it's been a blast. Like, it can be nerve-wracking at times. You get the odd guest that you've kind of grown up listening to, and it's been a lot of fun, and I learn something new every week, so.
Right on. Well, we're not exactly live. We're using a remote app today. Brett's at his home in the GTA. Andy is at his house about 10 minutes from mine. And so we're all sitting at our respective computers trying to do it this way today. And I guess it would have been maybe a little – we'll see if this is easier than getting you into the hammer for us, Brettsky.
You know what? I don't mind the drive if the weather's okay. It's actually kind of nice – I guess the last time I was in the hammer, afterwards we went over to your place, and then we went to your parents' house, and I hadn't seen your folks in probably 15 or 20 years, and it was just like old times. Your dad offered me a beer.
I was going to say, said hello and put a beer in your hand. That's what my dad does, yeah.
Well, if that's going to happen every time I'm in the hammer, I'm down.
So yeah, that was great. We were doing the math, and it had probably been a solid 20 years. I might have mentioned it before on a previous episode. I literally live right next door to my parents. So after we had bread on the first time, I came by and I went to see my pops, and dad put a beer in his hand because that's what my dad does. And so who knows if that will continue, but that's absolutely my dad's way of being hospitable, I suppose.
So you and Brett have known each other a long time. You did what did you do? Did you mean hockey or skiing or what?
Chad and I met on a ski hill in Hamilton on a Friday night.
Oh, wow. You're good for you. You knew that it was a Friday. I didn't remember that it was a Friday. I could have told you that it was the ski hill. And if I'm not mistaken, I was probably doing that from the time I was 8 years old. So, I mean, you know, we could be actually coming up on close to 30 years of friendship here, Brettsky. Scary thought.
Yeah. I think I started when I was about 5 or 6, so I'm pretty sure it is 30
years. God, we're old.
Yeah, so you skied, and then you started playing hockey, and then I went to a few summer camps together, or what?
I don't know that we ever did the summer camp. Do we ever do the summer camp thing together? I don't think so, eh, Brettsky?
No, I had my own little clique in Mississauga that I hung out with, and I went to summer camp.
Gosh darn, elitist Mississauga snobs. I'm just kidding.
The 30 years of friendship, Brettsky and I didn't meet until we met competing, actually playing hockey, and that's a fun story.
You guys, and I could say this as someone, I guess, who had known Brett longer, a little longer than Andy, but you guys literally had, I don't know why, I don't want to make it sound more epic than it is, but I mean, rivalry for the ages. There was some solid battles and some solid words that would get thrown around. You guys were you guys were, I don't think it's fair or unfair to say you were not friends when you were on the ice.
No, there was quite a hate there. I can confidently say that because it's changed now, but every time the two of us stepped on the ice against each other, just couldn't stand him.
Well, see, we're doing a podcast and we're doing a remote podcast, so you guys can't see. I am smiling right now because I once I got off the ice, I didn't hold anything against anybody. I didn't. But if you hated me when I was playing against you, then I did my job properly, I guess. So.
Mission accomplished.
And that's fair, but I didn't like being piss pumped, and every time we wheeled into the Hammer, it seemed like you piss pumped us. So
we did have some good teams for a few years.
Yeah, so let's. We were playing a tournament. Well, there's some discrepancy. Did we ever decide was it a tournament or was it the Team Canada camp?
Oh, I
think.
Go ahead.
I think it was a Team Canada camp. I'd remember if Chad was there, and I don't think he was.
Anyways, okay, who's giving their side of the story first?
Go ahead, Andy.
Okay. So we were both going for a puck, and in sledge hockey, the worst thing you can do to an opponent is T-bone them, right? So you hit their side of their sled with the front of your sled. And Brett, we were both – pursuing the puck, and Brett just T-boned me, and I had my hand down, and he snapped my wrist, and there is some debate as to whether my wrist was broken from the impact of the T-bone or from the impact of my knuckles hitting his face afterwards.
Yeah, and I have to interject here again as the one that's just listening to this story. My favorite part of the story is that Andy, if your wrist was broken during the T-bone, you still had the awesomeness to throw multiple punches with the same wrist that was broken into a face cage or like a full metal hockey helmet cage, which is really rad. Okay, so is that the way it went down, Bretzky? You just blatantly threw the T-bone or what?
I forgot to turn.
Oh, okay, you were just really good at going straight.
Yeah, I definitely forgot to turn. That's my story. I'm going to stick to it.
Even all these years later, he's sticking to his guns. I love that. So you threw the T-bone. Andy starts throwing the punches. And the rest is history, I suppose. And then, of course, Andy is your friend when we get off the ice, because that's the kind of guy that Andy was. All right, so let's get down to business here. Are we talking sports tonight or what, boys?
Before we get to sports, I know you're coming into to Hamilton on Saturday. Full disclosure, we tried to do this before, but the audio was shit, so we're doing it again. And one of the things we talked about was we briefly talked about dating, so I thought that was a neat topic. Brett, have you ever dated? How does dating work for you two? I want to.
How does dating work for me? if I find somebody that I find attractive or interesting, I kind of just go with the flow. And I don't want to say I jump at the chance because that's kind of creepy or weird.
The idea of you jumping?
it's pretty hard to jump out of a wheelchair because then you got to get back in.
Yeah, fair enough. You're really good at falling down, though. We might talk about that later in your face plant episode.
That's a great story. But over the years, I've had so many ideas about who to date or what constitutes a perfect partner and whatnot. And, now that I'm 35 years old, it's just about somebody that I gel with, that treats me well, and who I can pretty much be myself around.
Yeah, let's and Andy sort of alluded to myself being a married man. He's a married man, but I mean, I know as a wheelchair user, there certainly are challenges, and we want to be as real as possible. It's right there in that tagline. So I mean, let's be real about it. Have you ever faced any obstacles with girls because of the chair, or do you let it become an obstacle?
You know, I've been on dating websites before, and the first time I was on a dating website, I said to myself, you know, let's not disclose about the disability or the wheelchair. And so went out on a blind date one day, met her for coffee and had a nice time. And at the end of the date, I looked at her and I said, you had no idea I was in a chair, did you? And she said, honestly, no. And we went our separate ways, and I texted her the next day and I said, really nice to meet you, and hopefully I'll see you again. And she texted back, sorry, I don't think this is going to work. You know, things are going to happen like that, and that's fine.
She shot you down by text, eh?
That's brutal, man.
That's that one hurts.
What about you? At the time, it did hurt, but you know, I've accepted the fact that sometimes people, A, don't know what to say, or B, are fairly shallow.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I think that there's, for me, that's the hitting the nail on the head there. I mean, it's been a while for me. I am happily married almost 13 years now, and together with my wife for over 14. And I guess it's easier for her to speak about her experience. I try and never let it be an issue. And if it is an issue for them, then that's certainly no fault of ours. And you could probably argue that it might not be worth your time in the first place. But that sucks, man, to get it by text. That's cold, man. That's cold.
You know, it is what it is. And if I worried about little things like that, I'd be laying in bed all day, just rocking back and forth. And that's definitely not who I am.
That's it. So just to be clear, to back up, you're coming to the Hammer you're coming into the Hammer. I think we were chatting on the failed take of this podcast. We mentioned that it was for a Stag and Doe. This lady that you're coming in to spend time with, she is aware that you are a chair user?
Her and I met around, around Halloween. My buddy was preparing to propose to his now fiance and said, hey, listen, I need some support. And so I met him down in Oakville, and we went on a haunted, spooky walk. And if anybody knows me, I don't like being scared. I've got startle reflex. And but I said, hey, man, yeah, absolutely. I'm in your corner. So I get down there, and this girl who looked totally out of place and I were sitting on opposite ends of a parking lot in our cars. And my buddy texted me her number and said, hey, listen, she's there. She's down there too. I need you to keep her company or keep her busy. And so I texted her and I said, this is my license plate. This is my car. I'd rather not get out of the car just in case we have to get moving. So she hopped in my car and we talked for 20 minutes. And
and she was aware, you know, at that time, did she have to see the hand controls to know that you were a chair user, or was that talked about beforehand?
I think that once she got to the car, she realized I was in a chair.
There might be a reason why he's not getting out of the car. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't want to act like a dick or anything, but it was way more convenient for her to come to my car.
Oh, Jesus, Brett, what, your legs don't work? Get out of the car yourself, man.
Well, my head worked perfectly fine that night. I offered her, I think it was raining, I offered her a place to sit for a bit, to stay out of the rain.
Chivalry is not dead, buddy. You're a romantic. Has it come up with you, Brett? Because I know literally that it has with me. I've literally been asked, people will see my, and I might have said this, and forgive me if I have said it on a previous episode of our podcast, but it literally always blows my mind. I've had people see my wedding ring and obviously deduce that I'm married, and they say, oh, is your wife in a wheelchair too? you? And it always makes me laugh. Like, how is that the first question that comes to mind? How is that just a normal thing that because I'm a wheelchair user, my wife therefore must be a wheelchair user and we must make little wheelchair babies? You know, it doesn't really make sense to me.
Well, I was going to say the next time somebody asks me that, I'm going to tell them that I'm married to a wheelchair user and that our baby came out using a wheelchair.
Little infant roller. I love it.
So the next time, that would imply that it has happened before. That's
fantastic. Yeah, I mean, it does, but people are ignorant. And I don't mean ignorant in the sense that they're rude. They're just uninformed.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, guys, Chad, I know you went to Camp Marydale. For those that don't know, it's a camp for persons with disability. What is it? Kids with
persons with a difference of ability, Andy. Let's not be politically incorrect on our podcast. Just
well,
kidding.
No, but if they're kids, how do you say it then?
I mean, a kid is a person. Persons, children with a difference of ability. Who knows? And frankly, who cares? I don't want to play the politically correct game all that much on our podcast here. I want to be as real as possible.
All right. So Camp Marydale is a camp in the area for children with differences of abilities. And you used to frequent that camp, right?
I did. So, I did. My I was one of the first people one of the first wheelchair users to use that camp. The ones that are specifically geared towards children with disabilities, whether it be physical or developmental or however we're defining the disability. Those are actually Easter Seals camps, which I did as well. I did a couple weeks at Lakewood Camp, and then a couple years I went for a couple weeks at Blue Mountain Camp in Collingwood. And while they were great and you know, fantastic for socializing and things, they really helped me realize that I don't need to see myself as different. But I think that there is always value in that, in kids sort of measuring up or seeing what other kids are capable of. And it's really great from a friendship aspect. I was lucky enough to always be a fairly outgoing guy, so never really had a problem making friends or finding people to get along with. But I did meet some really shy kids at those camps who you could tell were probably, you know, sheltered by their parents, for lack of a better word, or protected maybe. You know, I don't want to make it sound too negative. But there was interesting moments. And of course, as you got older, I was a teenager going to those camps. And as you got older, they started to become, you know, you started noticing that people were actively going to these camps looking for relationships. They became, I don't want to say like hookup spots, but it was a thing to do as a teenager, to go away for camp for a couple weeks and find a summer camp romance. So
it was just like able body camp.
Yeah. Or any camp. Absolutely. Probably any summer camp where you're away from your parents for a week at a time. Yeah.
Listen, guys, I must be the odd man out. I've been getting shot down by able-bodied girls since I was like 13. Anyways, we're all hockey guys, so let's talk. We're a little late to the party on this, but the Carolina Hurricane celebration.
Oh, those bunch of jerks.
Those bunch of jerks are wearing the prettiest jerseys in the league right now.
The Hartford ones?
Yeah,
they are pretty. They're ridiculously good looking.
Now, are you just saying that because you're sentimental and they're retro jerseys, or
that may be the case? I don't know. I mean, I've been watching my Habs play from the time I was, I don't know, as early as I can remember. So I remember them being divisional opponents, the Hartford Whalers of the Montreal Canadiens, and I don't remember being as enthralled with the Hartford Whalers jerseys as I am now. So there's probably some nostalgia that go along with that.
Hey, listen, about 10 years ago, my brother bought me a Minnesota North Stars jersey for my birthday, and I hadn't seen one in years, and I thought it was the greatest gift.
That's awesome. I watched the Mighty Ducks with my son, Caleb. It's March break, so I watched the Mighty Ducks this week with him, and there was that scene with Mike Modano and Basil McRae, and I'm like, hey, the North Stars, I forgot.
How do we feel about the post-game celebrations?
You know, it's interesting. I think, and admittedly, I didn't see Don Cherry when he initially called them the bunch of jerks, mostly because I just don't watch Don Cherry these days. I fast forward through him. But I obviously understand that he called them a bunch of jerks. He didn't like the celebrations and all of that. I think it's, first of all, extremely entertaining. But the big part that I love is how they've embraced the label and are clearly running with it. And it's become a cash cow for them now. They're making the T-shirts. They've got it plastered all over with the laser imaging on the ice, a bunch of jerks. And so it's I think it's pretty funny the way that they've used it to their advantage.
And it's great because Don Cherry, like Chad alluded to, says nothing relevant. And he hasn't for the last 15 or 20 years. But he finally said something that wasn't necessarily relevant, but it stuck.
He called them a bunch of jerks.
Well, let me ask you, as former athletes, would that type of sportsmanship upset you if you were the team that lost?
No, I don't think so. It's all in good fun.
I think that there may be something to say about the way that the opponent would react. And it's funny, Andy, because I had not even thought about it until you brought it up. I don't know. I don't know how I'd react. I think it depends if you just got your asses handed to you and then they're rubbing it in, those bunch of jerks. But I think generally if you watch it, and I've seen a couple of them, just saw the piece that they did with Evander Holyfield, and I thought that was hilarious. I think generally it's done for the crowd's enjoyment. And I don't think it's really done at the expense of the opponent. It's not like they're beating up on the opponent's mascot or, some mock player in their jersey. It just seems to be done for the benefit of the entertainment of the fans. So hopefully they're getting a kick out of it. But I don't know if it's ever caused an issue. I would think that it might actually work on the inverse, in that players would be apt or would want to go and play there to be a part of those celebrations when you win. You just got to keep winning to make sure it happens.
Yeah, I don't know if I can agree with that.
All right, guys, moving towards the end of this episode of the No Excuses podcast. Of course, we want to get to our offside moment. And speaking with quite a few people, they seem to have said that this is one of their favorite moments of our podcast. The offside moment is where we literally just channel our love for hockey, but really the offside moment is what's been grinding our gears this week, or just in general. But I think we all have a shared story this week, and we could kind of share the offside moment this week. As we mentioned, a mutual friend of ours who will remain nameless had he would consider it a very negative experience. But Brett, I know it irked you, if I can use that word, in the same way that it did me. But you want to take point on this week's offside?
His experience, although unfortunate, it really pissed me off, because the backstory, he went to a concert, he bought floor seats to a concert, he's in a wheelchair, and he expected that the venue would allow him to sit on the floor, because in the past he's gone to a concert where he's been allowed to sit on the floor.
And actually, I was going to say, just to back it up, I think his experience on the floor of the same place, it was where the Toronto Maple Leafs play hockey, was where it took place. But in any case, I think his previous experience there had been for wrestling shows, which has designated seats on the floor as well. This one was for a rock concert, and dare I say, a hard rock concert, a metal concert, if you will. So I think if my understanding of the story is correct, he proceeded to move down to his seat with his friend, who was also a wheelchair user. They proceeded to go down to their seats and then were removed from their seats by the arena staff or asked to move. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but solely based on safety and fire code, the venue was just doing what they literally had to do.
Yeah, no, that's the way I read it. He jumped on social media to say this is what happened. And there were more than a few people that pointed out what we're saying, but there were far more people who were using it as a rallying cry to say how unfair it was, how it's 2019. But again, to your point, Chad, a wrestling venue has assigned seatings like ringside, and general admission at a at a rock concert or any concert is just a free for all.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah, and I think again that's where the frustration lies. I know that he's a wrestling fan. He's been ringside, but I mean, at a ringside wrestling event, you've got crowd barriers protecting you from the action. At a rock concert, you literally have, and you just said it, Andy, a general admission floor environment where anything goes down there, right? And so the venue is probably, quite honestly, just protecting themselves and protecting others from the wheelchair, if I could go a step further, right?
Yeah, so does it suck? Yeah. I mean, he has every right to be upset and pissed off and whatever you want to say, but the reality is, as much as the venue is protecting themselves from liability, they're protecting him and his guest in the case of if anything did happen and people had to run for the exits, do you think they're going to be like, oh, we have to get the wheelchairs out first? No, everybody's just gonna, you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of times, disability or not, people have a poor me mentality, right? And social media a lot of times magnifies that. And the bottom line is I don't agree with his point of view at all. What's lost in this is the venue comped his tickets, gave him a full refund. They gave him the best possible wheelchair seats and offered him tickets for another event at a discounted price. Yeah. So they literally did everything they could to accommodate him. And he just wants to focus on the bad part of the experience.
And the thing that bothered me is that it went on for days and days. Like, he wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
Every time I opened up my Facebook, there was something new, and you'd go to the timeline and it was posted 20 minutes ago.
What did he say? He's fighting. He's not just fighting for himself, but he's fighting for everybody with a disability.
Yeah.
That completely rubs me the wrong way because, again, at least in my mind, the venue did absolutely nothing wrong in this instance.
Well, and it was funny because he was mad at everybody. He was mad at Scotiabank Arena. He was mad at Ticketmaster. He was mad at the usher. He was mad at security.
Okay.
I think he was mad at the bands, which is ironic because he wanted to go see these bands.
I don't know. Like, again, it sucks that he can't go on the floor seat. But like you're saying, I assume that he bought the tickets online, right? So there's no check for are you in a wheelchair? Right?
Well, there is that check box there when you're purchasing accessible tickets that you have to verify that you're going to use them appropriately. But I think he probably, in purchasing floor tickets, he didn't go through accessible channels, right?
No, absolutely. So obviously if you're buying four tickets, there's no, yes, I'm in a wheelchair check.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And you know what? And Andy alluded to it earlier. I mean, far enough for me to be happy. And again, it's just me and I'm speaking for myself personally, but far enough for me to be happy would be the free night that he ended up experiencing. Right. I mean, the venue did literally everything they could, comping his tickets, providing him the best possible wheelchair accessible seat, safest seat, if I can use those words, because I think that's why they did what they did. And so, yeah, at the end of the night, you got a free show out of it. And that would probably be good enough for me. I mean, to his end, he's trying to make a point, trying to make his stink, and it literally just turned into, and again, this is what I think we all had a problem with, is it turned into a sympathy fest. And I mean, we're on the No Excuses podcast here, so no, there's no excuses for it. It is what it is. You don't need the sympathy that goes along with it.
Let's just recap. And again, I'm sorry if I sound like an asshole because I have a disability. And let's be honest, we've all gotten tickets as gifts, and we went to Will Call and said, can we do anything about these seats because I have mobility issues? And we've tried to work the system. Like, let's
be absolutely honest. So, I've been there.
But
yep.
But anyway, so he purchases the tickets online, I'm assuming. So it's his error. The venue does everything they can to try to make his experience better, and then he chooses to use his experience as a rallying cry for people with disabilities.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's fantastic.
Anything else to say about it, Bretzky?
Well, you know what? So the AODA needs a little bit of work.
And if you're listening as a – we do have quite a few listeners who have come from the able-bodied community, and that's probably one of my favorite parts. When we set out to do this, when Andy got at me, we wanted to take our 20-year friendship and just be as real as possible about disabilities without making excuses, and that's where the No Excuses podcast was born. But when we started setting out to do this, we wanted to be, again – as real as possible, and it's come to a place now where we've got a lot of able-bodied people, able-bodied individuals that are listening. And so, if you don't know, the AODA is the Accessible Ontarians Disability Act, something along those lines. It's the legislation that was supposed to be put in place, I believe, by 2025 to make sure that the entire province is accessible. And there are certainly some loopholes there. Go ahead, Brett.
Like I was saying, it needs some work, but that doesn't give us as persons with disabilities the right to use it as a loophole. Mm-hmm.
Listen, man, I guarantee you that the venue was acting completely within their rights to do what they did. Does it suck? Yeah, because that's not the tickets that he bought. At the end of the day, I would argue that he probably had a better experience. Well, maybe not, because he was upset about not being on the floor. But I mean, you put that aside, he probably had a pretty good night, I would think.
I don't know. He was posting pictures where he was pouting pretty
hard. he was mean mugging pretty good. Listen, I'm gonna put something out there. SummerSlam is coming back to Toronto in August, and I know that this individual is a big wrestling fan. Frankly, so am I. And I'm going to look into maybe getting tickets to go to SummerSlam at the same venue. And I would wager an absolute – I would put money on it that this individual will be on the floor for his wrestling event, because, you know, it'll be safer to be on the floor for a wrestling show, I suppose.
In assigned seating.
Yes, in assigned seating. That's right. Anything else to say for us, Bretzky? You want to plug your own podcast one more time before we let you go for the night?
Yeah, so the boys and I have a podcast with Accessible Media Incorporated. You can access us on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock, ami.ca/listen-live. The boys from the Neutral Zone would love for you and your friends to follow us. And if you can't catch us live, just go to your favorite podcatcher and search the Neutral Zone. And we've been going on here live for probably about 6 months, and it's been a blast.
Listen, man, in all honesty, I know you got to get up. I can push the gym a little bit tomorrow, so I might be a little better than you. But I really appreciate this, because I know we had some tough technical difficulties, but you're a trooper, man. And in all sincerity, I appreciate your time.
Guys, tonight was a blast. I will be with you again, and enjoy your evening.
Awesome, brother. Thanks very much. That's Brett Wills. We appreciate him. Friend of the show, to quote some guys from Sportsnet. Brett Wills, the friend of the show. Once again, guys, thank you so much for listening to the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. You can go back and check out all previous episodes on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, however you're listening to your podcast. Thanks again for your support. We appreciate it more than you know. Have a wonderful evening. Cheers.